Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com as the Mariners. Spring training season comes to an end. The finale taking place in San Diego today. And I almost forgot that it was spring training, Dave, as I was watching the game. Obviously, it's at Petco Park. You know, you're used to watching these games in Arizona, and it's in Petco. And Julio hits a home run in the first inning. I'm like, there we go. Oh, this is spring. Nobody cares. But just them playing in their stadium threw me off a bit.
Well, and the Padres are 1-1, right? I mean, they've played the first two games of their season.
Yeah.
In Korea, in Seoul, right?
Yeah, that's so weird.
It is weird. So, and then you saw from the Mariners, lots of guys in offensive line, defensive lineman numbers.
Up in the 80s with no nameplate and double flap helmets.
That's right.
that's how you know you're getting deep into your spring training roster there and giving them some time, which has got to be cool for them.
Yeah, it's cool for them. It always kind of makes me sad. Like the last preseason game in the NFL season, I'm always like, yeah, these guys, you know, there's some guys are going to be brought back, obviously. And, you know, for the Mariners, they'll go down to AAA, AA, whatever. You still get a chance. But, like, for some of those guys, that's it. Like, this is it. They're going to either decide or the team decides for him, your career as a baseball player is over.
Yeah, at least with that organization. They can get picked up somewhere else. But, yeah, it was weird. It was I got lost in the moment when Julio hit the home run. I'm sitting there clapping, cheering like it counted. It didn't. So, but it will on Thursday, Dave. It will on Thursday. So there we go. We will talk more about that. Should be a big day. Once again, we will be out at the Hatback Bar and Grill on opening day. So come on out. Say hello. It's going to be a day full of festivities out there. People celebrating, people excited. So come to Hatback Bar and Grill. We'll be there from 2 to 6 p.m. And Hatback will be hosting pregame festivities for all ages. Those begin 3 hours before first pitch. They'll have food trucks, tailgating games, music, and a whole lot more. So you can go to hatback.com for all the info. Meanwhile, the rule changes continue in the NFL, some of which are good, actually, I thought. Anyway, Dave, they're going to have two games on Christmas. That's kind of cool. That's a Wednesday. How about
Christmas
that?
Christmas is a Wednesday, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could go every day of the week, and it would be really, really good.
That was one of the few things I liked about the pandemic.
Right.
Was that, I think, wasn't there a week where there was a game on almost every single day except for one? I don't remember.
Well, I think ours was Tuesday against the Rams.
Yeah. So you had Sunday, you had Monday, you had a Tuesday, a Thursday. What was it? Was Wednesday the only day there wasn't a game, or what?
I think there was a Wednesday, right? Was it like a Friday? There wasn't one.
Yeah.
Maybe there might have been a scheduled one, but not a made-up one on a Friday.
I know, obviously, it's not great for players to do that, but as a fan, I'll take NFL games every day. Every day.
And didn't they also originally, you know, they don't want to do a Friday game or a Saturday game because you got high school football typically happening. And I know the NFL, there was some talk in the community, and then their little meetings and you know, at NFL headquarters about, you know, we don't want to take away from high school football. We don't want to take away from college football. But
they have some Saturday games sometimes, though.
The high schools?
No. NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe they don't want to make a regular thing of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, as a fan, I'm in. So two games on Wednesday. Now, they've got the XFL kickoff rule that we were talking about that is passed. And it's when you read through the explanation of it, it becomes more of a, all right, I need to see what this looks like. Because when you talk about it, it sounds a little funky. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, to be honest. I don't have a real passionate opinion on, oh, this is going to stink. I just like that they're not moving further away from the kickoff itself or moving closer to eliminating it, because that's where it felt like it was headed. That's it. Definitely felt like as the years were going on with the rules and everything and kicking into the back of the end zone, that it was becoming an irrelevant play. Right. And maybe this will resuscitate it. And at the same time, they'll get their they'll get improved injury data on it on some level, perhaps, because that seems to be the impetus for all of this stuff. So I'm kind of reserving judgment on this one until we see it. What do you have a feeling about it?
Yeah, I just, this is a term my dad used to use. It's Mickey Mouse to me. It just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't flow. So you've got the kicker all the way back on the 35. You've got your coverage guys on the opponent's 45, right? And then the opponents.
So you're on the, they're on the other side of midfield.
Right.
But the kicker's on his own 35.
Right. And so, yeah, you're on their side of the 50-yard line on the 40, and then they're lined up on the 35. So, you know, it's only a 5-yard run up. You know, I don't know. I just, it just seems unnatural, especially the part where you have to wait. Like, remember kick the can or hide and seek? You had to sit there and go one Mississippi, two Mississippi, yeah. Three. You know, that, I mean, they're obviously not counting. They're waiting until the ball lands in the landing zone or in the arms of.
So everybody on the receiving line is going to be looking the other way. They're going to be looking at their receiver to see when the ball is touched, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I hadn't thought about that part. Yeah, when do you know when to go? You got to be taking a peek back there. Then you turn around and all of a sudden the guy's at 4 yards.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I guess that part, it just doesn't flow. I mean, it's like I'm just so used to it. And I still think the overload on the onside kick should be reinstated, because it just doesn't happen that much. And I would challenge anybody that would say that there's a preponderance of injuries on that play. I mean, I don't know. I just think it gives that play a little bit more of a chance. So that part bothers me. The part that, you know, they're all just freezing. I mean, I guess we'll get used to it, but it just doesn't have like a natural flow. Remember at one point they were talking about you could have, instead of a onside kick, that you would have some kind of like a 4th and 15 play or something.
Right.
You know, and I think that came from the Broncos and John Elway. They've sort of proposed that. I know that certain teams will sponsor certain things, like the Lions with the third challenge if you get one of them, the two right. But yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. And we'll see. I mean, hopefully they get some plays out of it. But kickoff return has been pretty boring. You know, you haven't seen a ton of that. And you know, and I know they're worried about the collisions and everything, but don't some NFL fans, is this wrong to say, I kind of like the collisions?
Well, I think that's the draw for a lot of people, and has been, is that it's, you're watching something that you wouldn't or couldn't do.
Right.
Right? It's
yeah, but Ron Wolfley said that to me. He's like, yeah, I always loved it because not everybody would do it.
Yes, that's the appeal. It's like, wow, look at what these guys are doing. I mean, it's the same thing me watching fights. You know, I'm not going to step into the cage for a living and do that, but I can appreciate it, and I respect, you know, what it takes to go in there and do it. I have a sense of that. Same with boxing. I'm not going to do that for a living, but I understand it takes a different person to do that, and I have an appreciation for it. You know, it'd be like if they all of a sudden said, all right, now in MMA and boxing, you all have to wear headgear, shin guards, and you're going to use 18-ounce gloves.
Right. Like, or there's no knockouts.
Yeah, or, you know, in MMA, if the guy's on the ground, you have to let him back up. Or just, I don't know, some goofy thing like that. It'd be like, well, that eliminates my whole, you know, a big part of the reason I watched it to begin with.
Yeah.
So and we've talked about this a million times. They marketed the collisions. That was their sell. That was their sell. As a little kid, I had NFL's Crunch Course. That was the name of the DVD, you know, and it was just one big hit after another where you're just like, that's how they marketed it.
You know, that Crunch Course or one of those big hit ones, Shannon got on it and I wasn't in it.
she was a better tackler than you.
Yeah. but yeah, that's how it was sold, and that's, I think, part of the appeal. So it's Mickey Mouse. That's my answer. NFL hybrid kickoff is Mickey Mouse, but we'll see, you know, if it doesn't.
See what it looks like.
I'm just glad they didn't do away with it.
Yes, because, rather than placing the ball at the 25 to start the game.
Yeah.
Now, what about this is one I thought you would like, because I like it, the idea that roughing the passer and intentional grounding can now be challenged and reviewed if there's clear evidence of a missed call.
Yeah.
I like that, especially the roughing the passer, because we've talked a lot about certain plays, especially the one that took place between, I think it was the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. And
yeah, was that Clay Matthews?
Clay Matthews made a what I thought would be teaching tape tackle, like literally up the middle, dives into the quarterback, got his head off to the side, hit him with his shoulder, didn't land on him. It was like, there you go, there's perfection. And somehow there was a flag on the play, and they ended up losing the game.
That's right.
And you're looking at that going, what in the hell is he supposed to do? That was perfect. It was perfect. So I love the idea that you can challenge that now.
And then at the end of the season, you know, there were repercussions, I believe, that, you know, they lost that game. And, yeah. You know, whether I can't remember if they made it there. I do remember there was something that, like, that's why they lost that game. So, yeah, I'm okay with that, too. I like it. I think people like to get it right. And I think they like it when, you know, their team, obviously you don't like it when it goes the other team's way, but I still go back to that Bobo catch this last year where, and you were there, Bob, like the place just went nuts when they put it up on the screen and it was very clear and you knew that the NFL was going to overturn it and they're going to get it right. So, yeah, I think them trying to get things right, it's already difficult enough for the officials on the field. You know, they're trying to implement all these things. So they're getting a little bit more help from back home where I don't know how a guy, you know, I always talk about when you're down on the sidelines, everything happens so fast. I don't know how these referees and umpires are able to get calls right at all. It's incredible what they do.
Yeah, so I like this. I'm a fan of that one. Now, a couple other things that they put into play. They've got new criteria for Hard Knocks. In season, the show will follow an entire division. So it could be the NFC West for the in season as opposed to just one team. That's beginning in 2025. And making the playoffs now doesn't preclude you from appearing on the show. That used to be if you had a new coach or you were in the playoffs, that would preclude you from being a part of the show. Now being in the playoffs does not.
Yeah. I wonder if doing the entire division is going to dilute it a little bit. Like you're not going to get as good of inside type of stories, or are they going to shoot the same number of, you know, are they going to get the same number of guys and get as many shots as they do when it's just a single team? Or are they expanding their staff by, you know,
that's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see that. I like everything about Hard Knocks. It's always interesting to me. But, you know, I wonder if that will dilute it a little bit so you get less inside information, less time with guys. Remember Arizona, they're in-season Hard Knocks. J.J. Watt was really cool and entertaining. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get into all that.
Yeah, I think that has a chance to be positive. It could be. Maybe it will feel diluted. We'll see what that is. But I kind of like the change to Hard Knocks in terms of, all right, just because you're a playoff team doesn't mean you're going to be a part of it. The new head coach, that still remains a disqualifier. Like the Seahawks wouldn't be eligible this year because they have a new head coach. So we'll talk more about some of these rules. But coming up, John Stanton spoke about how the Mariners offseason unfolded. We'll let you hear a few of those comments. Coming up with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Whether you're planning a special birthday party for 14 friends and family or a company outing for up to 400 coworkers, Mariner's Suites are the perfect spot for your next get-together. Enjoy catering, VIP parking, private entry, and more. Reserve today at mariners.com/suites.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Mariners opening day coming up this Thursday. Cannot wait for it. Make sure you come out and join us at Hatback Bar and Grill on Thursday. We'll celebrate the start of the Mariners season. We'll be live from 2 to 6 p.m., at which point we'll turn you over to the pregame show. And Hatback will be hosting pregame festivities for all ages. Those begin 3 hours before first pitch. They'll have food trucks, they'll have tailgating games, music, all that stuff going on. So for more info, visit hatback.com. Meanwhile, John Stanton spoke with King 5 yesterday. I saw a little, you know, a couple little clips on Twitter. I didn't know he was doing an interview. We talked to him off the air out at spring training. But he did an interview. Was this with Paul Silvey? Was it Silvey interviewing him? Okay. So here he is talking about their, and I'm curious to see how close this is to what he told us. But here he is just talking about their payroll situation.
Well, we didn't trim the payroll. Right now, the payroll is slightly above what it was last year. That's what we expect the payroll to be. From my point of view, I think that the fans understandably reacted to some decisions that we made early on in the season. And to be clear, the decisions are Jerry and Justin's decisions. I approve them in most cases. But, you know, our baseball guys make those decisions.
See, he's saying they didn't trim the payroll. But I think what is a little misleading about that, in my estimation, is that the idea and the word and the expectation was the payroll from last year would increase, that they were going to have more to work with in this offseason. He's saying it's not trimmed from what it was last year. But did it grow? He's saying it's slightly above. But I think that's semantics to me. The expectation was we are going to have more to work with. They never said how much more. So I guess technically they raised the payroll by his standards. But I think to me that feels a bit deceptive. Saying, let's say 100 million. I know it was more. But just say 100 million for even numbers. That's what it was last year. And now they're at 104 million or something. I think the expectation was it was going to be, if it was 100 last year, then maybe it was going to be 130 this year or something along those lines. Just, again, throwing out random numbers. And that's not what it was.
So just basically, the way you're portraying is that you don't think they increased enough.
No, I don't. And I don't think the expectation was, and we were sort of being told, yeah, we're going to have more to work with in this offseason. Now he's saying, well, it didn't get cut from what it was last year. Okay. But it also didn't grow. That's, I think, more the issue. You know, Am I being clear on that?
Look, I think that when you get down to it with businesses, they can find ways to. Now, I'm not saying the Mariners did this. I'm just saying that you find ways to torture the numbers and kind of like talked about that yesterday. That, you know, that's a this much increase, and so, you know, I don't. I mean, I think what happened in the beginning of the off season was that it was just trade and cut and get rid of, you know, all the swing and miss, which they did get rid of all these salaries. And, you know, and so that was, I think that was weighing on people's minds pretty heavily that like, geez, you know, when are we going to add? And then I think the negativity kind of kept rolling, but I don't know. I think you would have to see the books. It's like, you know, when you go in to someone and say, hey, you know, you gave me this amount of a raise, but it's not even covering inflation, you know, so things
that's
like
that.
That's
been known to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that, I mean, that's where I'm talking about torturing the numbers. So, yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to open up his books to as to whether or not, you know.
Which is not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. So.
Yeah. So to me, it's a little like they might be slightly above what they were last year, but that's not what I think the fan base was sold. The idea was sold that we're going to have more to work with. We're going to increase our payroll. There's going to be more to work with. Then we hear about the whole Comcast deal, and that we had Scott Servais out there talking with the media going, hey, we're dealing with what we've got here, implying, hey, it's not what we expected. And then you and I at spring training, we did an interview with Justin Hollander, Jerry DePoto, and Scott Servais. And to each and every one of those guys, asked the question, hey, you went into the offseason with a certain expectation financially. Obviously, that changed. How did you handle it? Something along those lines. None of them said, well, no, that's not right. We didn't. There was no change in the payroll. They all answered the question. Well, hey, you got to, you know, find ways to get creative. You got to find ways to put a competitive product on the field. So I would think if that were erroneous or if we were misreading the whole thing, they would have said, no, you don't have that right. None of them did.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I love John. John's a very nice guy. I feel like we're getting into a little bit of semantics there, though, with, hey, the payroll's not less than it was last year. Well, no, but that wasn't the expectation. It was supposed to grow from last year, and it doesn't appear that it really has. He talked about why they got rid of so many of the expensive contracts they had.
The decisions we made was we had some players who had contracts for the 24 season that weren't going to be able to contribute to the team on the field. I think Robbie Ray walks on water. I'm a huge fan of Evan White. I think those are great people, and I love to have them associated with the team. But Robbie had Tommy John surgery. And, you know, the only thing I know for sure about Tommy John surgery is the recovery takes longer than you think it's going to. And we knew that the Tommy John surgery was probably going to keep Robbie out at least through July, maybe August. And so we're now in a position where we've got, you know, frankly, $23 million associated with a guy who isn't going to be able to contribute 4 of the 6 months of the season. Evan similarly.
All right. I don't know how you felt about those moves. I didn't have a huge problem with them parting ways with Robbie Ray. I liked Robbie, and he was really well liked in that clubhouse. Really well liked for a guy who had been here for as short a time as he has been.
Yeah. It was ridiculous how many people talked about his leadership.
Yeah, that was a no doubter. They loved him there. And I thought he pitched well his first year here. I don't think he lived up to the Cy Young expectation, and then certainly the way it ended with the pitch to our guy over there in Houston, Alvarez, in relief. I feel like, yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. It's you know, I feel like that summed up his whole time here, and he was better than that. But that became the lasting moment for everybody.
Yeah. I think where the Mariners got in trouble is that, you know, Robbie Ray, and then I don't know how people feel about Jared Kelnick, but, you know, there was some other guys that, you know, that weren't it wasn't well-liked. It wasn't well-received when they were either, you know, traded or they got picked up in free agency. And then the other thing is you go back and you're still kind of with a hangover from Sewald.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that bothered. And then, you know, the way things went, I mean, the whole thing ended pretty well. I mean, this is as good as I can remember feeling at the end of spring training as far as what they've added, where they're at, you know, and even the guys that they traded Sewald for, I mean, Canzone anyway. I mean, he seems to be working out pretty well. So, but it just started off so negatively that, you know, it just felt like it took a really long time for people to come around. And now I feel like, you know, I expect everybody's going to be pretty optimistic and happy about this season coming up. And yeah, I don't know. It's just the way it started was so bad, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and very also, much so. Because it ended bad and started bad.
Right. And the other thing was the threat of, oh, great, now we're going to have to trade away all of this, the starting rotation that we didn't want to do. You know, you don't want to give up Kirby and Gilbert, and there was also the threat of that. So, yeah, it was kind of a, like a perfect storm coming together, but it, I don't know, it ended well in the end.
One more from John before we get to the break here, just talking about the future of their TV situation.
I would say that the Mariners have been as proactive as is possible given the circumstances. The things we know. There's 100% certainty that somebody today is going to disconnect their cable TV service, disconnect their satellite service, because that was true for each day of the last 10 years. The number of customers on Root Sports when we bought control in 2014 was 3.3 million. The number of customers on Root Sports today is about 1.2 million. Everyone is affected by that same phenomenon. Cable cutting is real. Paul, it's not you and I that are cutting our cable. It's our kids. You know, the next generation, in many cases, they're not cutting cable. They never had cable. And so the dynamic is that we know that our fans are looking for new ways to consume Mariner games, to be able to watch Mariner games on video.
Yeah, I mean, he's accurate in that it is the reality of the industry. It is the reality of the world. People are cutting the cord, so to speak. So I get that. I think it got sped up a bit when Comcast decided to take Root Sports from, they had three tiers. It was available on two of them. Then they moved it up to the top tier. So basically, if you want Root Sports, you're going to have to spend more money to get it if you weren't already a subscriber to the top tier.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to eliminate a lot of people going, well, I'm not paying an extra whatever it is, 20, 18, whatever the number is per month for Root Sports or that extra top tier. There's going to be a number of people go, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, so they just don't upgrade. I mean, are those baseball fans, though?
Maybe they're finding it on other avenues. Maybe they're finding another way to watch it. I don't know. But
like streaming?
Perhaps, yeah. Or maybe it's Fubo or whatever. I don't know how that system works. But, yeah, that's a reality. But I think that goes back to the actual payroll. I think my feeling is they intended to increase it when this happened. They said, we can't increase it now. And they found ways to get creative. And I feel like, actually, Jerry and Justin deserve a lot of credit for the team they put together. There's a reason to be optimistic about this team, and they did it with essentially, as John, you heard John say, basically the same payroll they had last year. So it wasn't the increase people were expecting, but they did far better than they did the previous offseason with Colton Wong and LaStella and Pollock and everybody. So, yeah, we'll talk more about that, but despite the circumstances surrounding the team, the reasons to be optimistic. All right, coming up, the college athletics landscape continues to get worse for Washington State. We'll get into their uncertain future. Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Text line is there for you at 866-979-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Lots of people weighing in on the NFL rule changes. We'll get to the Washington State story here in a minute. But you had a thought on the hip drop, Dave? That's weird.
The latest ridiculousness. So it was Ian Rappaport. And he was very proud of himself for saying this. But, you know, somebody goes, what are you supposed to do then? Ask the question that all defenders in the NFL are asking. And somebody, and he was championing him, said, not that. That's absolutely ridiculous. You haven't told me anything. You've just said not that. And that's exactly what the problem is. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll have many stupid things said. So I thought I'd just throw that in there before we start talking about Pat Chun.
But they need to draw a clear distinction between that and that, right? Yeah. Like, tell me the difference, because I'm looking at both tackles going, okay, they look pretty similar to me. Yeah, one guy landed on the legs, but in terms of their motion and velocity and the physics involved, it's a football tackle. He happened to land. And guess what? They're going to ban this. And somebody else is going to get hurt in another way. There's going to be another play. There's going to be another injury. Somebody's going to blow out a knee. Somebody's going to suffer a concussion, because that's football. I'm not rooting for it. I'm not asking for more of it. But you can't legislate it out of the game. You can't make it extinct. It's not possible without it being flag football. And you'll still get guys that'll blow out their knees or accidentally clash heads.
I'm just thinking, like, if you're a high school football coach and you say that to a player, like, coach, how am I supposed to do it? You'd be saying, I don't know, but not that. Whatever you just did, not that.
Let him score. Let him run to the end zone.
So, yeah.
That's how you do that.
There we go.
All right. Meanwhile, Washington State, it continues to get worse for the Cougs, man. They lose their head coach, which we talked about. In fact, I was asking our resident Coug, Taylor, before he left, you know, are you mad about this? And Pat Chun, he said, yes. Yes, I am. And then Kyle Smith, you're disappointed in that. You get it, you know, especially when you learn that his kid is dealing with autism, right? And then the access to treatment and everything is exponentially better at Stanford, and it's a really good thing for his kid. Which, if I'm a Coug, I'm going, yeah, I'm disappointed, but I totally get it. That's got to be your priority. I totally understand that. Now, Chun. I get them being mad, like, you're going to the enemy. Like, Taylor's thing was, you couldn't go anywhere else. That's you had tough, to go man. There. Which, I get it, but what's he supposed to do? He's in a situation where there's two teams left standing. They're trying to figure out their futures. It's hard to get, you know, top shelf talent out to the Palouse. It's harder just to function as a institution sports wise, you know, and compete at the same level because of where they're located to compete with the bigger programs. I get it, but I get their anger as well.
Which do you think is a more angry crowd, the UW people when DeBoer left or the Washington State people when Chun left?
I think I'm going to say DeBoer, because it was on the heels of everybody feeling good, like, this is just the beginning. Look at that. We're in a national title game. This guy's only been here for 2 years. Man, I can't wait to see what he does with this program when he's really, you know, dug into it. I feel like the Cougs can weigh in on this, and I could be 100% wrong, but I feel at this point they're kind of feeling beaten down already. Mm-hmm. The rage is kind of subsided because it's just, I mean, the whole conference got ripped apart. They're one of two teams left standing. They're feeling like they're getting the short end of the stick repeatedly. So I feel like there's a numbness to them. I feel like if I'm a Coug in this situation, I'm going, yeah, of course. Of course he went to UW. Of course that's where Pat Chun went, because that's just how it's going for them.
I thought you were going to say numb nuts for a second there.
No, just numb in general.
Yeah, I mean, and for Chen, it's just so personal going to the enemy, you know, just like anytime, you know, when somebody goes from Stanford to Cal or Arizona to Arizona State, it's just, but I can totally understand. And he seems like he does a really good job. So Husky fans should be pretty happy about that.
Which would you be more? Do you think the Husky fans were more upset about DeBoer, or you think Coug fans are more upset about Chun?
Yeah, I'm with you that, like, I think the Coug fans are just like,
whatever.
All right. We have a two-man conference, and, you know, at least they did. And, yeah, why wouldn't he go there? It's a good move for him. And, yeah, and I feel like for the Huskies, they've done a pretty good job of filling those two spots in, because they've, you know, had both of them leave within 4 months of the national title game.
360 says, bleep Pat Chun. He won't last 2 years. Good riddance. Okay. I get it. I get your anger.
Taylor Jacobs came in and cursed at me just because I went to Stanford. That was the only
about
reason.
Kyle Smith. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said bleep Smith. You or something.
Yeah. I was like, okay, buddy. Thanks, man. No, he was joking, obviously. But, yeah, I think for Chun, he's the one I'm like, yeah, DeBoer really does seem kind of slick, and like he's maybe used that as a springboard to get where he really wants. And I think he left the Huskies much more in the lurch.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I'm at with it. 360, why are the Cougs mad? UW isn't even on in their conference. Mm-hmm. This is a little dig there. I Coug fans, I get it. I totally get your anger there. Kyle, I wouldn't be mad at Kyle Smith if I was a Coug. I would, again, disappointed, certainly. Not, you can't be mad at him, though, when he's putting his family first in this situation. All right. A lot to catch up with this guy on. We're going to talk to the one, the only, El Hombre. Michael Bradley, he's going to join us next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt. A classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.